All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And let's go to the phone lines. And you said, who is it, Sam?
Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast.
Hey, Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast. You say what?
Well, good morning. Good morning, Earl and Sandy.
Good morning.
Sandy, I really appreciate your expressing that you've had an epiphany.
Well,
and what I'm hearing this morning is that we need to restore hope across America and across the world. In our local area, if we restored hope amongst the poorest of the poor, we will raise up the entire population. They'll just have a better outlook of life. They'll take less risks on the highway. There'll be less shootings. There'll be fewer shootings and many great things like that.
Hey Bob, that's exactly what Sandy is saying. Go ahead.
And when the wealthiest pay their fair share, when they don't cut their taxes beyond belief and pay less in taxes than those of us who aren't making much at all, and they invest it in the poorest of the poor, everything will rise up. Gentlemen, have a wonderful day.
Hey, thank you very much for the call, Bob. Really appreciate it. Sandy, that's kind of at the root of what you've been saying.
Well, sure it is. But then, of course, the devil is in the details of what do we do? What are the things we do to raise up hope? And for me, it's trying to get the political discussion to be a discussion of the priorities of our country with respect to all of the needs and wants that are required to be met for the people of this country. Every politician, regardless of their political persuasion, would ultimately agree with what Tom said, that the government is meant to reflect the people. But then the question is, how do they read those tea leaves? How do they decide what reflects the interests of the people? And, unfortunately, in today's world of money, politicians are looking at where their bread is buttered too, and when they end up not necessarily reflecting the interests of the people, they reflect the interests of the interests that get their attention, and those interests tend to be the money that's in politics. So I think money out of politics is one important principle we have to follow, but the other one is trying to get the political debate to simply evaluate all of the ways in which we expend our government's resources and to compare and prioritize the importance of them. And if we did that, I think we could start having a political debate about our foreign policy, because it's our foreign policy that dictates the notion that we should have a defense budget capable of carrying on a war on three different fronts and a defense budget that is many, many times bigger than any other country's defense budget in the world, including China. Very big country, but our defense budget dwarfs the Chinese defense budget. And it's that defense budget, clearly, that has an open checkbook, while we have a very carefully monitored checkbook when it relates to spending government money on programs that could be very supportive of the people. And I would assert that not only the very poor would have enlivened hope, but the business interests of this country would suddenly realize the great value of having a system in America that was much more like the Northern European systems of health care for all and child daycare and education for all, because it would supply them with a workforce, a young workforce that was very capable, number one. And number two, it would allow them to pay wages to like the current wages being paid to our American workers, which, however, would allow those American workers to live happily and without fear, because if they don't have to pay for the things as we've identified in this show, like health care and child daycare, the median income of this country would be quite satisfactory.
You know, Sandy, I always look at Canada. I always look at Canada and say, look at what they're doing. I mean, it's working. Right? I mean, it is a society that seems to have things in order. And yet we look at Canada, and many of us Americans arrogantly look at Canada and thumb our nose.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing Canada has a shortage of is people, quite frankly.
Right.
It's a little bit like Russia, but Canada's economy is, well, not anywhere near as big as the American economy, and its per capita GDP doesn't match America's.
But it's treatment of the people.
Well, but its people are quite satisfied. And to me, satisfaction of the people would be the first test you'd want to measure in a country, right? How satisfied are their people with their lives? Because in the end, whoever gives us our life, that's all we get.
Yes, because...
And if the government isn't going to give us a happy life, then what in the world are we doing?
Because, Sandy, those people love their government because the government puts the people first. That's all we've been asking. Why would our government not put its people first? And yet there are people who say, well, we do in this country, but no, we don't. You know, we put everything else before our people. And, you know, been to Canada a few times. Love it.
Yeah.
Up there.
Well, you know, I think the a very common expression is, I don't care what you say, I care what you do.
Right.
And if you're going to measure America in terms of what our priorities are, you need simply measure how we spend our money rather than what we say about what our country and government stands for. And I would say that when you measure how we spend our money, it's pretty alarming. It's pretty alarming as to what our priorities must be if we're going to measure what we do rather than what we say.
Yeah, so Canada is more like the Norwegian
type of
people who just, you know, they think that the people are the most important.
Well, they have government health care.
I know.
They have maternity leave. They have, you know, they have a bunch. I'm not speaking necessarily. I haven't studied the Canadian situation that much other than knowing that they have health care. But so many countries and so many very successful countries with very successful economies with nowhere near the natural resources that the United States has have set their priorities in such a manner that they have health care for all and child daycare and free education. It seems like most peoples have decided that those are fundamental needs, right along with water and water and sewer service. Those are fundamental. And why isn't health care and why isn't education, why isn't child daycare, why aren't they as fundamental?
You know, Sandy, once I found out about leaded water and children drinking leaded water all over this nation, I just still, for the life of me, knowing that we're poisoning children and we don't make that a priority, right? I mean, all over this nation. And we can't afford to do that. It's always what we can't afford to do.
I wonder how many billion it would. I don't remember what the number was, but it certainly wasn't 53 billion.
No,
that it would take to solve the lead water problem.
Right, but we can't afford to do that.
Right, but we spent in one quarter. We quickly reached the conclusion that we could do that.
Look, Sandy, you're going to be out for a little while, huh?
I am. I'm traveling for the next while. There might be one more show before I'm going to Israel.
Got a lot to talk about when you come back. First time in Israel?
Yep. Yeah. I think there'll be one show before I get to Israel.
Okay. All right. Gotta go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sandy. We'll see you Friday.
No.
Oh, next Monday.
Next Monday.
All right. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Oh,